the ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN podcast, episode 240. On the podcast today, Alan talks Telecom Plus. That's Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. And I like this company so much so that I own it, so I have to declare my interest here. But let me just say, before I go on, please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation on this podcast, as it's only just opinion. Please use it as a stepping stone to do more research if you're interested in the company. And it's your own money, you know, so do your own research. But I do own Telecom Plus, so I have to put that out there. And I've liked them for a while, especially since April. I was looking for a point to get in. Then they released a profits warning because they've had a figure, £11 million accruing over 7 years, which is gas theft and leakages, that they had to declare. I don't know why they didn't declare it years ago, but they did. And that took their share price down from about £9.50 down to £7.20. I bought a £7.80 and I sent out a newsletter on a Sunday, my Sunday stock picks. And this is one of them. They pay about a 4% dividend. But Alan will cover these in the podcast in a couple of minutes. But I also have the Broker Forecast, the Micro Macro News, and this podcast is dedicated to DJM underscore 5, who gave me a 5-star rating and a nice review on iTunes. I'll read that out later. But first, we need to tweak the saying, sell in May, come back on St. Ledger Day. That's an old saying where apparently you should sell before the summer months and then come back after the Triple Crown of horse racing events and come back after St. Ledger Day. Oh, we've had a cracking summer going to all the events. Now it's time to get back into the market. That is really old-fashioned, and stats have proven out the last 20 years, if you'd have sold, okay, in summer, everything, and then come back on St. Ledger Day, which is in September, you'd have been wrong 66% of the time, because apparently the market does go up in the summer. But there is the chance of more volatility in the summer, like we're experiencing now. So we sort of know there's a huge chance, or probability as well, the stock market does rise at the end of the year with a Sanders rally. And I can't remember what the percentage is. I think it's about 75% for that chance of a Sanders rally. So shouldn't this be the case? Shouldn't we adapt or tweak that saying to this? Trim in May, ready for a bargain day. All right, because we know it may happen. So essentially what we should be doing, and I've sort of covered this in the Saturday podcast, is January, February, March, look at stocks that performed well. We no longer have, you know, potential, or we think there's not huge upside potential because it's happened, it's been there. The whole market has lifted all boats. So get out of the stocks we have less confidence in when it's psychologically insane to do so, because it's hard. I remember listening to someone saying they're selling in May, or a lot of the stocks, and this was back in April, and at the moment the market's at their high, and I thought, this person's insane. Now I'm thinking they're a genius. So psychologically, when it's back to front, you think, you know, the market's rallying, all you want to do is buy more, no, then it's when we should be trimming, because the hedge is growing, trimming. I realise, basically, it's a backward for a hedge. You know, winter is almost like, you know, it kills the hedge, but summer makes it grow. But it's the opposite. So we realise we are going to see volatility in the summer, and the market's going to pull back. So we should be almost pessimistic, or have a bit of foresight. You know, when the markets are rallying, March, April, we should be trimming, and then wait for that summer bargain day to buy. So we should be buying at the lows in the summer, trimming, you know, leaving them, and then from May pretty much, or June, leaving the stocks, leaving there, or buying June, July, and leaving them, you know, accumulate at the end of the year, then February, March, April, start looking at trimming again. That's the way it should be working. So ignore sell in May, come back on St. Ledger Day, trim in May, ready for a bargain day. That's my saying. It's not as catchy, but more statistically accurate, I think. And joining me on the podcast is CEO of Brand Communications. It's Alan Green. You're right, Al.
I'm very good, Joss. How are you?
Yeah, good. Looking at my portfolio, it's not as bad as last week, actually. What I'm saying, the portfolio on the ADVFN monitor here. And I said this time last week, I think it was this time last week, all red, pretty much. But now I have got some stocks, and that no referendum weren't as bad as people. We started, I think 1.5% down the FTSE, but it's bounced back a bit today. What's that now? But about half of 1% as I'm looking at it, I think, yeah. But I've got stocks up. I mean, Bellway, 2.5%, 2.2% up. Yeah. Countrywide, 1.3% up. GlaxoSmithKline, 0.3% up. Mm. Pain Point up a little bit, but last week it was all red. So it's not as bad as last week. But I genuinely think, I know this figure's been bandied about, like, but Greece is 2% of the GDP of the Eurozone, so it's not a big business problem. But I honestly think it's had so much worry, you know, focused on Greece, that if we should be worried about anything, it's something we can't see. You know, because that's where the market falls. Like, so, or something we're not thinking about too much, like China at the moment, for example.
Yeah.
Stock markets are hugely volatile there. And I think that has a real power to affect the markets, unlike Greece, you know.
You're absolutely right. I think if the GDP data or the manufacturing data from China falls, it has a far bigger impact on the markets. And the biggest factor with Greece is, as you say, the unknown. It's not whether or not Greece will there will be a Grexit, in which case, you know, the currency will be devalued by 30-40%. If they leave the euro, then they'll reintroduce the drachma, and then investors will come back in. It's a nice country, you want to go on holiday there, and it'll recover. That's neither here nor there. I think it's the wider ramifications for the European Central Bank and the EU, because it's the end of the dream, in a sense, isn't it? Once Greece goes, the other smaller nations that may have similar debt problems may be looking at it and saying, do you know what? We've got austerity forced on us by the ECB and the EU. We don't want to play anymore. So, yeah, we're going to leave too. We're going to leave. We're going to go back to our old currency, and we'll renegotiate our debt, and we'll pay them off in the year 5017. And I think that's the issue. I think if Greece goes, it could potentially trigger a breakdown in Europe. And that's also a fact that's weighing on the markets too. It's far bigger than Greece, because if you get some of the bigger economies considering going, which at this stage is unlikely, then of course it would have a significant impact. But I think as far as the domestic economy is concerned, I think the Chancellor and the Bank of England have done a fair bit to insulate and shield the UK economy from any fallout from Europe. And really, that's an evidence through the reaction of the FTSE on Monday. It's a fairly muted reaction. It was a fall at the open, fell to about 6.525, and it's recovered since. So
yeah.
Yeah, my portfolio, like yours, Jus, I've got a couple of blues here and there, but you know, overall, I'm still in the hunt, so that's the main thing.
Yeah, do you know what I am concerned about, honestly? Because it's getting louder is the problem with the... I don't know if it's hit your radar, but the volatility on the Chinese stock market, it's not good. It's like and in fact, the government has intervened today, or today's trading, because they're... There's two different stock markets. So A and B, basically. A is like the FTSE 100, B is like the FTSE 250. But one is up 5.5%, one is down sort of 5.5%. It's all over the place. So they intervened trying to stop the volatility, and it's down 30% in the last couple of months, but it is up to 150% of the last year. So it's so volatile. And I think, to a certain extent, when you have whipsawing, and it's been used to go up 5%, 6% up and down each day. And so when you have this kind of volatility, it produces, you know, uncertainty, and people lack confidence investing. And then it may have ramifications on the further economy. That's what I'm worried about more than Greece. You know, is the fact that the Chinese government had to intervene in their markets, which, when's the last time that happened in our markets? Realize there's a big problem, you know. And maybe they're not obviously the markets, the stock market hasn't been around there as long as last year. And so they maybe, not the government, as the way they are, they do intervene more maybe. But I'm thinking, if that happened in this country, then you'd think, wow, there's a real problem, you know, because that's a bit of an issue. And like I said, second biggest economy in the world, that may be a problem. Talking about red stocks, though,
that's a good point, actually, Jess. But I think with China, yes, it's the world's second largest economy, but in many ways, it's still an emerging economy, isn't it? It's still it's burgeoning, it's growing, and it's got all the attendant advantages and disadvantages with that, which one of which is extreme volatility. So
yeah, it's not a particularly open market, of course, because there's limited access from international companies. Oh no, so literally it's insulated really. But I mean, you know, yeah. But do you know what? Before talking about sort of macro, going to micro, talking about red stocks, the biggest faller in my portfolio this week or today is Velocys. Now, you know, an old sort of you have something in common with the CEO. They announced in an RNS today that he's been suspended, and they said it's not financial, but pending inquiries, they've suspended Roy Lipsis, isn't it, CEO of Velocys, VLS.
Yeah, Roy Lipsky. Association. Well, he's not association. My knowledge of Roy is twofold. Firstly, he went to the same school as I did many years ago in Ryan, East Sussex, and secondly, I met him years ago, actually, when just after Share Crazy had been taken over by Tom Winifred and Tips, and we ran a TV show there called Trading Places and Board Talk, and Roy was on the show there, so I had a chat with him when he came into the office. But strange indeed. I mean, of course, we've talked about Velocys in the past. It's great technology. It's biomass technology. It's revolutionary, changing. It's a change in the energy market, and Roy has spearheaded Velocys. Used to be called, of course, Oxford Catalysts, but when they changed to Velocys, Roy kept on spearheading the push for Velocys going forward. So, of course, we don't know what the issue is. He's been suspended.
It says here an investigation into allegations of serious misconduct, but then it does go on to say that the allegations do not involve any element of fraud or financial impropriety. And the board said it's pleased to confirm the trading is in line with expectations. So you're just going to think, well, what's he been doing? Has he been, you know, partying so crazily that it's brought the company in disrepute? And I think, because, you know, it seems like, I mean, the problem here, if it's not financial, then that's okay, fraud and that. It seems okay, but like you said, because he's the main driver behind the company, the longer he's away from the company, you know, the more impact that will have. So that's a bit worrying, really, I suppose.
Well, that's it. We'll give the guy a break. I mean, he's been charged. He's been running the company for years and years and years on end. So yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe he just thought all work and no play, and all work and no play. Let's have a giant party. Let's have a giant party and roll out the barrel, and he got called out. So there we go.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, because I'm not saying anything here, of course, but when it comes down to breaking the law, there's only a couple of things. There's money, there's sex, and there's murder. I mean, let's be honest. Let's hope it's sex rather than murder. Yeah, yeah.
Rape.
Okay.
Right. Rape and pillage, yeah.
That's sex or something. I don't know. It's nothing too serious. But okay, let's go on to the stock of the day.
Or possibly all three.
Yeah, but before we get in too deep, let's get, I'm always in one, let's get into the stock of the day. What are you looking at, Al?
What we've discussed before, Justin, it's a company called Telecom Plus. The epic code is TEP.
I know them well. I know them well. It's one of my Sunday stock picks. I sent out a newsletter, and must have been about 5 weeks ago now. I bought this company. I went behind, and I always put up the reasons why. And it's a cracking recovery play. The last week, especially after their trading update recently, it's recovered very well.
They've done really well. And of course, a bit of history. I mean, I bought shares in the company. We're going back to about 2007, 2008, and I think I bought them at 60p and sold them at £1.20. So that was great for them. But boy, if I'd held on to them, I'd have a 10 bagger on my hands. But you live and learn. But Telecom Plus, they are utility warehouse. They are a provider of energy services to homeowners throughout the UK. And I am, well, since we moved to Seaford a few years ago, and since we moved, I've been using utility warehouse for gas, electricity, telephone bill. It's all rolled into one. It's very neat. It's very good. It's very cheap, and it's and they also provide the broadband that we're speaking on now. So it's it's a really good service. Now the interesting thing is here, there was, as I think we identified when we were talking earlier, there was an accounting issue at some point last year, but they put out a great set of results last week. The revenues are up 10.5% to 729 million. Adjusted pre-tax profits up 22.5% to 52 million. Earnings per share up 9% to 53p. And shareholders had a 14% hike in the dividend to 40p a share. So the company is absolutely powering ahead on all fronts. But if you look at the chart for the year, the shares have come back from a year high of around £15.25. They came down as low as £7.30. But during May and June, in the run of the results, they formed they delivered a series of higher lows, which from a charting standpoint, you know, really showed there was solid resistance and there was a bit of a floor in the stock at that level. And then, of course, they bounced back to £10, which is more or less where they are now. What is also worth considering here too is that in the run-up to the election, there was uncertainty about the government policy going forward on energy companies. And of course, it was stated earlier in the year that the Competition and Markets Authority had identified that there was something of a monopoly between all the big six suppliers in the market. They'd identified that 95% of dual fuel customers on standard tariffs could save between £160 and £230 a year by moving to cheaper providers. And of course, Telecom Plus Utility Warehouse are one of those cheaper providers. Mm. So the government are encouraging competition. So I think we can expect as we go forward to see the government clamping down harder on the big six and basically making the pathway forward easier for the likes of Utility Warehouse. So the fact is the shares have come off a year low. Broker FinCap have got a buy rating and £13 price target on the stock. And also interesting to look at the chart because the chart bounced back, we've got those series of higher lows, but there's also the 200-day moving average just above where the share price is now. So it's looking tantalizingly close, and for me, that's where the shares are going to go next. So
it's looking at the share price there. There's a gap which it's filled, which means. And that was at when it gapped down. This was in April. In fact, it was on that profits warning that came because of this. And this is the wording of it. We have recently conducted a detailed review of the unbilled energy debt carried on our balance sheet and have concluded that a total of approximately £11 million, which has accumulated over 7 years between 2007 and 14, is not recoverable. This relates to higher levels of leakage and theft within the gas distribution network than previously thought. So that's now... I mean, apparently the accountant was sacked for this, and of course he should have been. But that's off the book now, and that's what impeded. That's that gap in the chart. The gap you see on April 15, a gap down, literally, at 720 from where is it there? It was at 970, and a gap down to 720. And it's slowly been building there, and it filled that gap recently. And so you suspect the bottom of that gap, which is 950, is a good support. So if it comes back, it should hopefully hold around 950. And so then power back up, because I'm hopefully going to write some more of this on a pullback. And that's what I'm looking at, is that 950 level. And you think, in a weak market like it is at the moment, you know, like today, a couple of days of this, because the uncertainty of Greece, it may come back a bit. And I think it's just in a company like this, you know, opportunity to buy in the right companies, you know.
Indeed. Well, I think as well you've got that solid support that around the £8 mark, which came in after the shares fell in the run up to the results. And I'm just pulling up this 200-day moving average now. Actually,
it's 10.91. I think we're looking at it. 10.91. Yeah. But you know what? I'm looking at this is a company with, you know, like I said, return on capital employed of 85%. They've got a dividend yield of 4%, which is covered 1.3 times. Yep. So you know, if it does pull back, you can buy in there. And what, you know, while it's making its time building up, you've been paid, you know, sort of 4% there, so that's gorgeous, covered nicely, you know.
And they've also promised to hike the dividend by another 15% to 46p in the current year as well. So you know, that's the great thing. It's a progressive dividend policy going forward.
Nice. Telecom Plus. It's a good call, Al. TEP. Thanks, fella.
TEP. Cheers, Joss.
Okay, it's time for the macro news. Here's the macro news. European and Asian stock markets and the euro have fallen after Greece rejected the terms of an international bailout in Sunday's referendum. I think Yanis Varoufakis has also stepped down. Apparently, I saw a little quote as to why, because he initially said he would step down if the yes vote won, which it didn't. In fact, 61% of the no vote, so he stepped down. But apparently, he said there are certain people in the European side, the IMF, the Troika, that don't think his presence there is conducive to talks. And the Prime Minister of Greece has sort of agreed with this. And so he stepped out of the way to make it easier for the talks to happen. Anyway, the euro fell by 0.4% against the dollar and 0.5% against the pound after the vote, which many believe could lead to Greece's exit from the eurozone. Japan's Nikkei index fell more than 2%, while Paris's CAC 40 and France's DAX dropped 1.5% and 1.3% respectively, a more muted reaction than forecast. In London, the FTSE now at the moment, as I'm looking at it, is, where are we? It's around about, 0.6% down to 65.44. And I've got to say, I have sold a stock today. I've sold my Schroders. I've had Schroders for a long time, SDR ticker, and I'm up about, 80% in those over a couple of years. But I've trimmed in May, ready for bargain day. In fact, I'm a bit late, but I'm hoping to pick up a couple more bargains here because I think there will be volatility next couple of weeks, and I need some cash on the sidelines just to pick up those bargains. That's what I think. But I also think that the worry, and Greece has a lot of worry around it. And who was it recently said? There's a very well-known fund manager. When there's a lot of worry that's publicised, that is not what you should worry about. The things we should worry about, we are a sideshow, or we're not looking at. And that's why they take us, we don't see them coming. That's what, almost the financial crisis. No one saw that coming, really, to the point where it was. We all hear about the credit crunch and all this, but no one really saw the stock markets implode like they did, And at the moment, I think the big problem, really, a bigger problem, of course, on the global scale, is China, like I talked about, Alan, because people have their eye off the ball there. They see the noise is getting louder there. But still, the loudest noise is Greece, and that's taken up the majority of our worry and concerns. So I think it's not a big worry, really, because people have already built that into the market. The price is priced in, So I think China maybe is worse. Anyway, let's get some good news. UK new car sales in the year to June rose at the fastest rate on record, a motor industry survey has found. The Society of Motoring Manufacturers and Traders said there was a 7% rise in new car sales in the first 6 months of the year, taking the total to more than 1.3 million. In June alone, there was a 12.9% surge in car sales compared with a year ago, amounting to 257,817 sales. I beg your pardon, a bit of windy pops there. I hate that word, windy pops. About 15% of buyers chose a UK manufactured vehicle, the SMMT said. Talking about China, Chinese stocks rose today as an unprecedented series of support measures unleashed by Beijing brought some relief to the market, whose headlong slide over the past 3 weeks has raised fears about the stability of the world's second biggest economy. In an extraordinary weekend of policy moves, brokerages and fund managers vowed to buy massive amounts of stocks helped by China-backed margin finance company, which in turn would be aided by a direct line of liquidity from the central bank. The rapid decline in China's previously booming stock market, which by the end of last week had fallen by around 30% from mid-June peak, have become a major headache for President Xi Jinping and the Chinese top leaders, who were already struggling to avert a sharper economic downturn. Yeah, there's something going on there. I'm starting to get me a bit worried, or concerned. Time for the micro-macro news. Here's the good news. Budget airline EasyJet reported it carried 6.56 million passengers in June this year, nearly 8% more at the same time this month last year. In the same month last year, that's just good. 8%. Bovis Homes. I don't know why I want to say Bovis in a northern accent. Or Bovis Homes, it remains on track. I know what it is. It's because it just rhymes with Hovis. And it's that advert. Do you remember the old advert? When I were a lad, Orvis. That's what it is. Anyway, Bovis Homes said it remains on track to deliver further growth in shareholder returns as it achieved a record number of first half legal completions thanks to the high quality land investments it has made in the past few years. House builders, man, they're rocking it. I own Bellway, and again, up sharply today on an upgrade. And I bought them about 18 quid, and they're up to about 24 quid, just pretty new highs, and they keep going strong. When you've got a sector in rallying mode like this, the momentum, it takes a lot to take the steam out of it. Supergroup said it's close to securing a deal that will take its Superdry clothing brand to China. Landscape firm Marshall's revenue rose 11% for the first 6 months to the end of June, the company reported today. Pharmaceutical group Allergy Therapeutics has announced positive results from a clinical study for the treatment of house dust mite allergy. Satellite Communications, Advanti Communications, said its revenue was up by 50%, assuming constant currency, on track with trends. Oil Explorer, Afire Energy, said it was on track to meet expectations as it continues to streamline operations after its purchase of Salamander Energy. Here's the bad news. Shares in aerospace manufacturer Rolls-Royce Group were down by nearly a tenth after the firm warned on Monday it would not meet profit expectations. Not good. And this is a company I own, which annoys me. It's starting to make me think now about companies without proven track records of profits and revenue are very susceptible to volatility, as we should know. Velocis, I talked about this with Alan, said on Monday, which is today, that its chief executive Roy Lipsky has been suspended while an investigation into allegations of serious misconduct carried out. Now, they said this is not financial or fraud, and the company is still in line. But Roy Roy is a driving force behind Velocis, ticker code VLS. So this is quite concerning. Shares in product developer Lightbulb fell by 30% today after the company lowered its expectations for the full year and announced major strategic changes in its chief executive heading for the exit door. Time for the broker forecast. Here's the upgrades. Morgan Stanley has upgraded BAE Systems to overweight. Oh, I'm overweight. The price target of 570. Numis upgraded Capital and Regional to buy. Price target 70 pence. Infosec initiated coverage of Conviviality Retail to buy rating. Price target 185. Infosec upgraded Wrangle Resources to buy. Price target 49.71. And Barclays Capital has upgraded Bellway. I own those to overweight. Price target 27.99.9. What? Come on, guys. What a ridiculous number. They're having a laugh, aren't they? 27.99.9. Just say 28 quid. It's hardly a bargain. Well, 10 pence below that, is it? Downgrades. Investec has downgraded Acacia Mining Ord to hold. Hold! Price target 314. Barclays Capital has downgraded Taylor Wimpey to equal weight. Price target 2. They've done it again. They've done it again with Taylor Wimpey. The Barclays Capital has downgraded Taylor Wimpey to equal weight with a price target of £2.6.6. And finally, this podcast is dedicated to DJM_5, who gave me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. And I'm up to 61 now on their reviews, which I understand, even though I get thousands of listeners a day, it may seem like a lot, but that's quite a lot. And they've all 5-star reviews. So if you can do it as well, please, I want to try and get to 100, because that's a cracking amount of reviews. So if you can go there, if you've got 5 minutes of your spare time, if you enjoy the podcast or find any value in it, please go to iTunes and give me a 5-star rating and nice review, like this one from DJM_5. Great podcast, 5 stars. Ding, 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 ding. Would highly recommend this. I particularly like the discussion of stocks I would not ordinarily consider. Always do my own research, but it is a great hearing the opinion of someone else. Has now become required listening for me. Thank you very much. Do you know, that means a lot. And like I said, this podcast is dedicated to you for giving me that nice review. Don't forget, don't invest in anything based solely on a tip or recommendation of the podcast. It's only just opinion. Please do your own research, as it's your own money. I do appreciate listening to the podcast. There's more of the podcast tomorrow. Speak then. It was odd then at the end there, wasn't it? Speak then. I lost it a bit there. Anyway, speak then.
The ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.